Welcome to the latest iteration of Behind the Beard. I'm Mike Anderson, and I'm joined today by Carson Jones and Lewis Anderson. Guys, no Pat, no problem. What do we got going on today?
Is iteration the largest word you've ever said?
I only know it because Pat says it every week.
Yeah, that's probably the only time I've heard it as well. So it's good to be here. It is good to be here. I mean, fall is fully in the air. Football is fully going. I've had back-to-back Monday nights where my team was nationally embarrassed on, for the world to see. So just awesome. You know, love it. So glad it's back.
Other than football, you know what's the greatest thing about this time of year? Like those early mornings and late nights when you're out and it's a little crisp.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dude.
It's like the coffee, cup of coffee in the morning hits different when you walk outside and you're like, ooh.
Your neighbors say it's mostly Jack Daniels in the morning.
I've heard that as well.
That is just not true.
You talk about it being a little crisp. I went to the state game on Saturday, super hot, 90-something degrees. I'm doing some bets for the day. I get a lock. Listen, Mike, I've got a lock for you. The Carolina over, lock. Lock it in.
Oh, was that Carson?
Yes. Guess what? They did not get the over.
Womp, womp. No, that was Carolina's not even bad enough to give up the over. I mean, it was just unbelievable.
What's going on with your boy Bill down there?
Oh, I mean, 70 new players. It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah,
is what I'm going to go with.
Indeed.
But yeah, that was my lock. Thankfully, Mike's in a winner. We got CJ Bailey anytime touchdown with state money line. So,
yeah. So no national championship this year.
I didn't say that.
You think Carolina can rally back?
Yeah, no. We're just looking to improve week to week. Okay. Biggest adjustments were made from week one to week two. I wish that statement was true.
Hey, you did win. That's an improvement.
We did win. Yeah. So I don't know. Seeing their win total just crash down on all the betting sites is just, right now it's 5.5.
Oof.
It's like, and they won. So it's like we need 5 more wins for that to cash, and I just don't know if that's free. We'll talk about Derek's got free money this week.
Free money.
So we'll talk about what free money is.
So we are missing our guy Pat. He's out this week.
Did I hear he's on suspension?
Pat got suspended this week for poor picks. He went 5-5 again. So
he had to take a little time out.
Yeah, we had to give him a week off to think about it. Not really, Pat. Pat flew his plane out west.
It wasn't to Utah, was it?
No, he's in Burbank, California, and he had a maintenance issue, so he may call in a little bit later. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
That'd be exciting. It's never the same without Pat, but sorry. And we're getting this episode out just a little bit later, but we've all got a bunch of stuff going on, and I apologize for T-ball games getting in the way. But so that is on me.
We did release an interview this week.
Yes, yes.
Steve McCurry. What a good interview.
The Steve McCurry.
Yeah. Old Stevie.
Reynolds Athletic Director, former head football coach at Reynolds.
Indeed.
Good interview.
It was a good
interview. We enjoyed talking to Mr. McCurry. We all worked with him on the booster board, not Carson, but me and Lewis and Pat did.
It is interesting stuff with the finances of sports and seeing all the stuff behind the scenes most people don't realize.
Yeah, and I think it's just from, I was a listener of that episode, but, just getting him on there, kind of painting a picture about, behind the scenes stuff, I thought was pretty exciting for us to get someone, and you guys talked about it with him, that Reynolds, that they've got the unlimited funds, unlimited money, and how all these other schools look up to him. And then
much because of Pat Pohl.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously,
yeah.
When you've got his trust and, his trust fund and stuff that's wired to the booster club at Reynolds, that makes it easier.
Right.
But, it was just awesome to hear, Steve and what do you call him? Coach McCurry?
Pat calls him Coach McCurry. I call him Mr. McCurry. Lewis calls him Steve.
I call him Steve, yeah.
Okay, so all of the above. But it was awesome. We're very much appreciative that he took the time and came on the show.
It was, yeah.
So picks last week, we had a new top dog.
Dun, 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 dun.
Two of us.
Two of us. The ball knowers is what we are called.
I'm sure you do know some balls.
Mike and Carson went 7-3. Lewis, he fell one back to 6-4, and Pat 5-5.
Who's still leading it overall?
I didn't write down those numbers. Do you know?
Let's see. I was 14 and 6. So does that make me 20 and 10?
I think you're probably still
open. Yeah, Lewis is still in the lead. But like I said, it's like Carolina football. It's a marathon, Lewis.
Okay.
You just keep losing a game by game by game.
There won't be no more Charity.
Okay. All right. I like it, though.
I know a girl named Charity.
Do you?
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't know what you were talking about.
Okay.
So, no, we had some good games. I mean, we had some games that we thought, you know, we thought we all kind of had a beat on it. You know, we're 2 weeks in. We're like, okay, we got more information on these. And then we had some that were, you know, kind of surprising.
My favorite thing about week 3, 4-ish, like you start to see some of the similar matchups.
Yeah.
And like, you know, this team killed this team, but then all of a sudden they're struggling against this team, but that team killed them.
Oh, yeah. It's like, it's that triangle. And so you think you know what's going to happen because of the common opponent. Yeah. But then when it doesn't play out that way, it's like, wait a second.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
What, by week 3, you think you're starting to hone in on
understand the team, yeah.
But you're not.
You're not.
No. Well, let's get into it. Let's talk about this week's games. So the first game, a little private school action. We got Ambassador Christian at Asheville School. Asheville School, the home team, played at Lenoir Ryan. What some nice facilities.
That's a good environment.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. I mean, that's awesome. You'd think that, does any schools around here get to play at Mars Hill?
Just when they don't have a field.
Okay.
Like Madison did it when their field was.
Yeah. I mean, that's got to be cool for the high school students.
We actually played them a game there. It was a good little spot.
Yeah. I was going to say UNCA, but UNCA does not have a football team.
No.
So that would be tough to play.
Probably not allowed with their political views over there.
Yeah.
They're definitely not allowed to build a stadium.
No, because of the trees.
The trees.
We could plant twice as many, but you know.
So Asheville School, a 20.5-point favorite. This game ends in a 33-33 tie. They did not play overtime, and Carson Lewis Mike got this one correct. For Asheville School, quarterback Jonas Howard was 5 of 9, 114, 3 touchdowns and interception. The running back duo, Marvin Lazor, 16 carries, 136 and a touchdown. Shiloh McKendy, 16 carries, 131 yards. Carson, they both averaged over 8 yards a carry. Wide receiver Isaiah Wallace, 5 catches, 114 yards, and 3 touchdowns. He was the only receiver to catch a pass.
A lot of good defense, it sounds like.
33-33.
Do you think, I mean, is that something that's predetermined before the game that we're not doing overtime? I mean, how does that conversation go?
I would think, I'll be honest with you, I don't know, but I think, obviously not a conference game.
I don't want to risk injury.
Why would you not play?
It's
2025. Why would that I play
confusing.
An overtime?
That is confusing.
Also,
to me.
This isn't soccer.
Yeah. I'm with you.
So I was following, you know, you guys know I send out scores. I'm checking scores. I'm on the Asheville School Twitter page, X page, and they're like, all right, we're headed overtime. And then 10 seconds later, final. 33. I'm like, whoa.
That was.
That's it. Wait, what happened to overtime?
Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting. I would like to get more information on how, you know, how does that go about? It's like, did Ambassador Christian be like, no, we don't want to do it? And Asheville School's like, okay, we agree. Or it's interesting, but you don't see many ties.
Nope. Ambassador Christian beat Christ School. A 14-year streak could be in jeopardy this year. We'll see.
So is it now could be in jeopardy?
I think the sirens are blaring, man. Uh-oh. This could be it.
Are you going to go to that game?
Now, listen, I think so. The first game.
It still has to be. It's one of those, you got to see it.
You got to see it. Ambassador Christian was the first game for Christ School, new coach.
Yeah.
Of course, new players, you know, they bring in 75 or 40 new players every year.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Is the Christ School, Asheville School game in the middle of the year or at the end?
No, it's in the middle. I think we're 3 weeks away from
okay.
it.
Okay.
Obviously, it's going to be on a Saturday again.
Yes.
Is it at Asheville School this year?
Was it at Christ School last year?
I think it was.
So, yeah, it's at Asheville School.
Okay.
So, we'll have to go over there and tailgate on the baseball field.
I think so. Do a few burnouts.
That's not what I said.
That's not.
Are you guys committing now to come to the tailgate?
It depends on what the date is.
It doesn't matter. It's football.
I can attest that I went 2 years ago at Asheville School.
It's a good spot.
Fun environment because...
Especially with that breakfast.
The breakfast is obviously top-notch, but how many people go back to that game? It's the alumni weekend for both schools, I believe. Yeah. And, it's probably one of the largest attended games, high school games, in, you know, besides obviously Pisgah Tuscola in Western North Carolina.
Do you think they're going to let Pat land in the 50-yard line again?
They will.
Yeah.
Good. Last year played at the end of the year after the playoffs because of the hurricane.
It was kind of strange last year.
It was strange, but it was what it was. So next up, Brevard, 2-0, travel to Irwin. Irwin getting 30.5. Final score, Brevard 37, Irwin 14. So Irwin drops their third straight 0-3 to start the season. Brevard had 6 rushers who rushed for a total of 279 yards and 4 touchdowns, none more than 100 yards. Wide receiver Thompson Wynn, 4 catches, 121. Senior Keelan Rogers had 14 tackles. No stats for Irwin. Thomas Wynn, is he the one who got the ECU?
Yes, I was going to say that's the one that Derek offer today. Yep, he got an offer today from East Carolina, which is pretty big for Western North Carolina kid.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
At a small school like Brevard.
Yeah, definitely.
Tough year for Irwin.
0-3. And their schedule doesn't get any easier.
No, it doesn't get any easier, but you know, we talked about it off air, you know, just kind of what we thought their points total could be if that line was set. And I don't know if many of us thought they would, you know, would get to 14 points. And so what we do know is, you know, they're going to compete and they're going to battle. It's just, it's a tough start right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they'll figure it out sooner rather than later. And I think their in-conference schedule is going to be easier than their non-conference.
They'll have a couple. I mean, they'll have a couple opportunities to get right, which we'll talk about.
So next up, Owen, 6.5-point favorites at Patton Avenue. Final score 22-7. Owen, Lewis, tell us about the Owen game.
Basically the first drive kind of described the whole night. Patton decided to defer to the second half, so we got the ball. We went on a 10-minute drive, ended up with a touchdown. After that, we stopped them a few times. You know, I think at one point we led, 21-0. We led by a little bit. And
Carson just fell out of his chair. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry.
You got your medical alert thing on?
No, that was
I've fallen, and
that
I
was
can't
my
get
keys,
up.
Yeah. And yeah, life alert hasn't been alarmed.
But pretty much, Owen just dictated the game. I mean, there was a few times that, you know, some personal foul stuff and things like that set back some drives. But for the most part, Owen just had their way, and it was a very good, chill game. You know, it wasn't too emotional, nothing like that. Very good performances on both sides of the ball. Once again, like, defense led this team, and our offense just kept dragging the clock down and down and down. So it was a good game.
Is it one of those where it sounds like, you know, Owen was kind of in control from the – you know, from the start as far as clock and all that goes, but, you know, just running the ball, I mean, was there any passes, you know, did you say there was one interception?
Yeah, we did throw one pick.
Okay. So. How many attempts, like, per game are we passing it, you think? You said that's not Owen's game. That's not what
Coach
who
said. If we're throwing it 10 times a game, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
I think we're probably keeping it around 5 or 6.
5 or 6, yeah.
Which is, you know, this week, you know, going into this week, it's going to be a little bit different in a game.
Yeah, for sure.
So 0-2-1, first time, probably in quite a while, 2-1.
Probably a decade.
So that's good.
It's got to be, got to be buzzing over there.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. They got a tough game this week, but we'll see.
It'll be a tough game, but I mean, you know, I think it's a winnable game.
Okay.
All right, we'll talk about that.
We will talk about it. That's why we're here.
Next up, Madison at North Buncombe. North Buncombe, 25.5-point favorite.
This was my favorite game of the week.
Yeah. North Buncombe gets a win 42-19. No stats for either team, but I did find on the ACT, Kingston Denson, 13 carries, 260 yards, and 4 touchdowns. That's a pretty good rush performance. At halftime, Carson, this game was pretty close,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, 7-7, and it seems like North Buncombe just kind of, you know, North Buncombe definitely pulled away in the second half, and it's, you know, I watched second half on it was the My 40 game, I believe, on WLOS's Facebook page, and so we were leaving the T-ball game, and you know, I plugged into this, and you know, Kingston Denson, is that how you say it?
It's Denson. Would that be Denson?
Denson,
I think it's
Denson.
Yeah.
Denson, yeah. So Denson just, I mean, he was just breaking them off, and so it's one of those where you know, Madison, first half, it's kind of makes you, you know, what a game it was in the first half. Obviously, I heard, you know, it was packed out place, humongous game for both sides. And then there was also a video of Coach Tipton going viral after the game with the speech. And, you know, what a you know, he was just explaining, like, you know, this is a huge game, but this can't define our season, and stuff like that. And as someone that played for Coach Tipton, it's pretty exciting to watching that video. There was numerous people reach out to me and was like, watching this just got me fired up. But, you know, he was like, give credit to him. And he's like, I'm already looking forward to them coming down next year. So very, very good game, big for both communities. But North Buncombe just pulling away in the second half. And when you don't have an answer to stop the run, it makes it very difficult.
Coach Tipton's definitely a fire you up kind of guy.
Definitely a motivator.
For sure.
Definitely.
So Carson Pat might get this one correct. We all got the Owen one correct. I'm not sure I said that. Next up, Pisgah at Inca. Little concerned, Pisgah had some slow starts. They get the win 41-19. They were a 20.5-point favorite. Pisgah was led by Mahaffey, 8 of 14 at quarterbacks, 116 yards through the air and one touchdown. Running back Landon Pope had a big game, 24 carries, 224 yards, and four touchdowns. Lewis, he rushed for 9.3 yards a carry. For Inca, quarterback Logan Trantham, 8 of 11 for 88 yards and a touchdown. Running back Tommy McKinney, 12 carries and 89 yards. This game was close early. Pisgah, good halftime adjustments, pulls away, gets the win. We all got this one correct.
Inca's always a good get-right game.
Yeah, that was one of the games I was talking about for Irwin. And so, I mean, at some point they're going to play Inca and they're going to have the ability to get right.
For sure.
Which is just tough because, you know, with Inca, it's we've talked about it with all the coaches, and you know that's definitely a battle and that's definitely a struggle. But you hate to see. It's hard. How do you keep the kids motivated through this start? That's got to be difficult.
I mean, it's got to be tough. It's got to be tough. Pisgah now 0-3. Inca now 0-3. Pisgah 2-1. So next up. What turned out to be a fantastic football game.
Which you wouldn't think, right? Going into this, there's no way North competes.
Right. In my opinion, Hendersonville just wallops them. But Hendersonville, a 13.5-point favorite, travels to North Henderson. This is for the Henderson County Championship, which, you know, talk to the coaches out there, that's a big deal.
Yeah, because they're forced to play each other.
And they all care about it. And
yeah, right.
It's everybody like Mike said, I mean, who would have thought this was one of those where it's like 13.5, you see these teams of who they've played, what Hendersonville was able to do against West, and you're like, this could be another blowout.
Sure.
So Hendersonville doesn't cover, but they do win 32-27. Jerron Ward, remember he had like, 300-something yards passing the week before against West, was only 4 of 9 for 129, two touchdowns and interception. Jordan Buford, running back, 19 carries, 143 yards and a touchdown, and Chaz Johnson led the way on defense with 12 tackles. For North Henderson, Aiden Berry, quarterback, 9 of 16, 134. Carson Healy threw one touchdown, but guess what? He had four interceptions.
Oof.
Running back Parker Willis, 27 carries, 167 yards, and two touchdowns. We're going to talk about Parker Willis as this season goes on. This kid's a pretty good running back. He's averaging about 170 yards a game. The four interceptions, and you lose by five. I mean, you got to be thinking we had a chance.
Oh, for sure.
We may make it out like we know everything about, doing the correct plays, but four interceptions, why wouldn't they just keep running the ball?
I mean,
you had success.
You have the best running back. You have one of the top three running backs in the area.
I mean, for sure. So, but no, what a game. I mean, North Henderson, are they going to be the Smoky Mountain team this year where it's like kind of sticky? Like they're going to grit everything out.
I think so. So are we overvaluing a win against West? Is West that far down?
Well, because
we'll find out this Friday.
I think we will. So West beats Irwin, is without their, their best player.
Yeah.
They lose to Hendersonville. I don't know. We're going to see about West as we get into conference play in the Mountain Eight, but they may not be as good.
I think
good
the one
we
thing that we one thing that we probably can't question is the, you know, I think Brevard. Would y'all agree that Brevard is, you know,
it's solid,
is solid from top to bottom.
Yeah,
they're the team to be beat in that conference.
I think so.
Do you think that three games in?
Well, there's Mountain Heritage. Well, I guess that's not the same.
That's in our conference,
right? Right. I think those are the two best teams, Brevard, Mount Heritage.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes, I think Brevard will, but they got to beat Hendersonville.
Yes.
You know what's weird? Are you saying they're like the best teams in Western North Carolina?
I think those are the two best teams in Western North Carolina.
But neither one of them are in the MAC.
That's a good point, Lewis.
Okay.
A good point.
Yeah. I thought...
So generally, you're right. The MAC, they got the team to beat. Usually they got Reynolds. Reynolds
Asheville,
in this area
TC.
Is the team to beat. Asheville, TC.
Irwin.
Obviously, Irwin down this year with the injuries. TC down.
But usually, you're right. Usually, MAC has the numbers.
Yeah.
They've got
They're the biggest schools.
They're the biggest schools for sure. This year, we talked about it before the season and how there could be, you know, this could be one of the most different, most parity high school football seasons that we've seen in quite a while. And I think it also helps that, you know, I know it was the first game, but we were blessed to be able to see that matchup to where how many times have we seen the top two teams or a team that is outside of the MAC where they're very good and we're like, yeah, but I mean, Reynolds would handle them. But we actually did get to see. That actually happened this year. So,
and what happened there?
I mean, Brevard's a very good team.
And we're going to talk about Buncombe County football in just a minute. I got it on the list here. But the next game, South Point at TC. TC, man, they're struggling offensively.
Yes, they are.
They're led by their quarterback, Harris. It's a new quarterback this week. I don't know if it was injury or what happened. 19 of 32, 178 and a touchdown. South Point rushed for 285 yards, and they win 34-6. Carson and Lewis get this one right.
Of course we do.
TC drops to 1-2. South Point now 2-0.
Yeah, that's I didn't.
It's going to be a tough year.
Yeah, it definitely is.
For TC. Next up, Asheville at Crest. Ooh. Asheville a 22.5 point underdog. One person got this correct. You know who it was, Carson? It was Mike. Yeah. That's who it was. It was Mike.
I don't care.
Your boys lost 56-12.
Cougars. Come on. Where are you at?
I mean, they're playing. My thing is, I mean, what top tier competition? I mean,
oh, for sure.
Their coaches are not scared to schedule. I mean, they're not scared to schedule.
Asheville Irwin, two best schedules in this area for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously a tough game. Tough game for my boys. But it's one of those where.
It's my understanding. A couple turnovers early, special teams issues. And they're in a hole, and then
next thing you know, it kind of spirals.
Yeah, and Asheville, they're a run first team, and when you get behind, it's hard. It's hard when you're a run first team,
100%.
With a sophomore quarterback.
Yep,
I think we talked about seeing. I mean, a big test is we're gonna know even more about teams this week. I think it's, you know, how is this Asheville team gonna respond this week?
Yeah. So, we're gonna talk about that one. So for Asheville, quarterback Tay Williams, 10 of 13, 80 yards, a touchdown, and 2 interceptions. So, Lewis, he's actually 12 of 13 if you count the ones he completed to Crest. Anyway, 10 of 13. Running back Clement Davidson, 19 carries, 115 yards, and a touchdown. Asheville got behind early, just couldn't dig out of the hole.
I hope Court really cuts that out and plays it for him in practice.
I hope he does, too. I hope those boys are motivated.
Listen, I talked to Coach Radford this week, and I wish him no ill will.
No, they're definitely – they know they're friends of the show. So, it's just one of the – I mean, Crest is – Crest is their Crest for a reason.
Yeah, and they win a lot of football games.
They win a lot of football games. And going to Crest is not an easy thing for a young team.
Right.
And so, and if I'm not mistaken, Asheville was, they were at Dobyns-Bennett last week, right?
Yes.
So we got back-to-back road trips.
They got a home game this week.
Excited for them to be back on their
I'm definitely going. I haven't heard about my passes for to pick them up, but I'm definitely going to the Asheville game.
Well, the last time we had passes.
Anyway. Robbinsville at Mount Heritage. Usually pretty competitive football game. Not this time. Mount Heritage wins 50-19.
Did you guys see the videos of that case? I mean, that kid looks like...
I watched
like,
the play at Irwin, yes.
That kid looks like a creative player in Madden, where you create a guy on 99 overall. And I know Robbinsville is no JV football team, but it looks like he's playing against JV football players.
Casey Jones, not as big as Caden Jones at Christ School.
No.
Same skill set.
They're
plays defense, plays offense. If you need something big, you call Kason Jones and you're like, hey, this is what we need, and he makes it happen.
Yeah, so, I mean, very, very impressive. Mount Heritage keeps doing what they're supposed to be doing.
They're 3-0. They were led by quarterback Braden Dayton, 4 of 12 through the yard, 51 yards, 3 touchdowns and interception. 3 of his 4 pass completions, Carson, for a touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think at Mount Heritage, like first day of kindergarten, they're handed the playbook?
Yes.
And they're just like, know this.
Yeah, I think that's a prerequisite before the ABCs.
I think so.
Kasen Jones, 6 carries for 110 yards and a touchdown. 1 catch for 14 yards and a touchdown. And Malachi Huskins led the way with 15 tackles.
Yeah.
Mount Heritage and Brevard, what a football game that would be.
Yes.
So lastly, J.M. Robinson came up to, we all got the Mount Heritage game right. J.M. Robinson came up to play Reynolds. Reynolds a 3.5-point favorite. J.M. Robinson gets the win 49-21. Reynolds quarterback Colton Reimer led the way, 11 of 22, 120 yards, a touchdown, an interception, and a fumble. Running back Ty Patterson, 10 carries, 54 yards. As a team, they rushed for 117. J.M. Robinson now 2-1. They passed it for 150 and rushed it for 160. I was at this game, and it just seemed like J.M. Robinson dominated in every facet. They would sometimes lose focus, and Reynolds would hit a big play, and they would come back and score twice. Reynolds kind of hung around, but J.M. Robinson just too much in the end. They had some pretty fantastic athletes.
Pat did send in a little quote about this game.
Give it to us.
He says, I'm cautiously optimistic about Reynolds. J.M. Robinson lost to Myers Park, one of the biggest schools in the state. They beat West Cabarrus, and Friday they looked to be the better team on the field. But Reynolds punched up against a much bigger front on both sides of the ball and showed off some great athleticism. The QB was able to get the ball out quick. I saw that game as comparable to a battle with East Forsyth. Tough opponent for sure, but ACR battled and stayed with them for most of the game. Certainly some great takeaways for the team. And I would argue Coach Laws and his staff learned more about their players.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those, though. I mean, very good opponent. That's a tough game. And Reynolds is going to have other games, too, you know, that's not going to be against the J.M. Robinson.
Again, like we talked about earlier, conference is going to be a lot easier
yes.
than non-conference.
Yes. So,
I don't know. They got Murphy this week.
Well, we're getting ready to talk about it.
Smaller school.
We're getting ready to talk about it. So let's talk about for a minute our player of the week.
Yeah.
Carson, do you have our player of the week?
Yep. So player of the week, we're going to go with, and we said it was Kingston Denson.
I believe that's how you
said. The running back in North Buncombe. You know, there were some other very, we talked about some of the other big performances out of Western North Carolina, but with them getting the win for the rivalry and the jug and stuff. And, you know, just seeing how explosive he was in the second half and, you know, kind of putting North Buncombe on his back. We're going to, you know, shout out to him for the great game. And Kingston Denson, North Buncombe running back, is the week 3 player of the week.
Had a great week.
Yes, sir.
So there's something I want to talk about. We kind of touched on it earlier, and it's Buncombe County football.
Right.
Is it on decline? Is it bad? What? We're not winning any down the mountain games where in the past we maybe could have won a couple. It just seems like there's a lot of parity. You got Mount Heritage.
Hold on a minute.
Okay.
I mean, like Brevard won down the mountain games last year, right?
Yes.
Yep. He said Buncombe County.
Buncombe County.
Okay. Just
they're in Transylvania County.
They're in Transylvania.
All right. I thought we said Western North Carolina. Go ahead.
So Buncombe County, it just seems like there's a lot of parity. And none of them are really standing out. There's not one team in Buncombe County where you can say, hey, that's the best team in Buncombe County right now. A lot of parity, not a lot of wins. You look at Asheville, 1-2. Reynolds, 1-2. TC, 1-2. North Buncombe, I think they may be 2-1. Inca, 0-3. Not a lot of good records.
There's also another Buncombe County team.
Wait, is there another? Oh, yeah, Owen, 2-1.
Yeah.
Does Owen have the best record in Buncombe County?
I think they do.
I think they're tied, yeah.
With who?
Didn't you just say North Buncombe was 2-1?
They might be 2-1. Let me look. Yeah, North Buncombe, 0-2-1. There's one other Buncombe County team we're not thinking of is Asheville School, 2-0 and a tie.
What is Christ School?
I believe they're 1-2.
Okay.
So, Buncombe County football right now is not fantastic.
My thoughts to that is, you know, you look at, I think every, just you get a feel from interviewing these coaches and stuff, and I think we kind of, expected that coming in, that there wasn't going to be just one standout. You know, all the other coaches, you know, like Reynolds is still the Reynolds brand and everything like that. We've got to, you know, we've got to consistently, they're consistently the target for us. But I think when you look back, you know, who's the team that's like, oh, they can make a deep run? I think that's the most discouraging thing. It's like, who's that Buncombe County team where it's like, usually you could say, hey, this team's going to make, you know, Irwin last year, or whoever would come out of the MAC. For example, Irwin came out of the MAC last year, you know, MAC champions. You know, that's good for a couple wins in the playoffs. I think this year it's going to be the toughest to where it's like, we may have a Buncombe County team not make it to round two, depending on the matchups in round one. And so that's something that's not normal for, you know, for this area, I believe.
The other piece of the puzzle with 8A is it's a little more watered down, a little easier to make a deep run when you have classifications versus four.
Yeah, that is right. I don't know. I think we're all pulling for deep. I mean, we want football. We want football around here. We want the deep runs. But right now it's like, every coach would be lying if they probably feel like they've got to make massive improvements for, you know, and they want to peak at the right time.
Is it just because they've all scheduled difficult non-conference games?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think
Buncombe County down a little bit.
Hey, just because of the top three are down doesn't mean that, like at Owen, I'm ecstatic about this season so far, right? That not only the teams we beat, but like how the game is being played and how the guys are responding to these games. I'm ecstatic. So at Owen, it's coming up, which, you know.
Do you think, honest question here, do you think Owen has a chance to win the conference?
I mean, that's tough.
Absolutely, it's tough. You're in a tough conference.
Do we have a chance? I think we definitely have a chance, but you got to overcome those top two, right?
Yes. And that's not a slide. That's just a question.
No, I feel that. No, like, I do think we have a chance to win the conference because we're getting better week after week. We're playing harder. We can overcome those guys. And our coaches, I mean, they're doing great on the X's and O's and the matchup and when we do call what plays. And we definitely can.
And the one thing that Owen does have going for them is that is a style of play where it's like that if everything does go right, where you do control the clock for three quarters of the game, it's like if you don't have any turnovers, it's hard for you to lose if the other team doesn't have the ball very much.
Right,
right.
So, you know,
but the other problem is if you get down early.
Correct.
Now, you did come back from 21 already, so maybe you can come back.
Exactly.
So,
yeah. I don't know. It's interesting. We want Buncombe County to obviously be great. That's the teams we mostly cover. But
I mean, I think for so long, it's just been Reynolds, Asheville, TC dominating all the wins. And now these guys are not stepping up, right? So everybody automatically thinks like Buncombe County is no good at football.
But I think it's not like Coach Laws and these coaches are coaching any different this year where I do think the Jimmy and Joe's play a factor in it.
Why do you think, let's just talk about the big four in the MAC. Why do we think they're down? Is it because?
Well, that's easy.
Okay.
Like Irwin's down because of their injuries.
Okay.
Right.
Injuries and numbers, for sure.
Injuries
and
numbers.
They are low on numbers.
Right?
I heard from a friend of mine that there was, and he thought there was like 27, 28 dressing against Mountain Heritage.
And I'm just going to be like totally my opinion only.
Okay.
Asheville, they've always battled this culture thing. Either A, the culture is great over there and they're just running through people, or the culture is like so, it's like stepchildren arguing and got people taking off their pads halfway through a game and running out of the stadium. So you're battling those two things, and maybe they're on the wrong side of that this year so far.
It's tough, too, because it's like we're sitting here and you've got, you know, Irwin's lost their best player. You could argue Asheville's lost a couple of their best players. And then you've got, you know, Reynolds, I'm sure they've lost
three. Quarterback's hurt.
Tight end's hurt. You've had players, you know, have had players leave over the last couple of years and stuff. So it's just not it's tough.
And I mean, so, you know, Irwin, Asheville have the TC is battling the offensive struggle of getting back
the
to
identity
the spread,
and
right?
stuff. Yeah.
And I mean, if we're being honest, and everyone listen, I hope they reflect on this. Reynolds just brought in too many people and plugged them in, and they got people sitting on the bench that knows the system. I mean, that's just what it is. Get back to raising up your own team, and then you'll be dominant again.
I feel like, you know, the numbers are down for all the schools.
Yeah.
And the question is why. It's
that's not true. Owens.
We're talking about the big four.
Okay, go ahead.
Numbers down for the big four in the MAC. Why are they down? Well, you got soccer. You got kids.
Which is the dumbest thing ever that men's soccer plays right now.
You got kids going to private schools. Asheville School, Christ School. Oh, they both have Buncombe County kids. There's a lot of different reasons why the numbers are down, but when you lack depth, one injury can really, really set you back.
And it can change the whole dynamic of your season.
Oh, absolutely.
Look at Lawson Reynolds at Irwin.
Oh, for sure.
Kid, he's defensive player of the year, best offensive player they got. He's a senior, and he's done a quarter end of the game.
Yep. When we interviewed the coach, I mean, half of the podcast, he talked about how great this kid's going to be.
Well, and when we interviewed other coaches, the other coaches were talking about, I mean, he's preseason. Sure. I mean, you know, he's a problem for every other coach to game plan against.
What's my favorite thing about this is like if you go to Owen, one injury is huge, right? Because you're already much lower than all these other schools. I'm kind of glad they're filling this.
I wouldn't say you're much lower. You got less than 27?
On varsity?
Yeah.
Sometimes we've had less than 22.
This year, you got a pretty good number.
This year we do, for sure.
Okay.
But like last year, we had to pull 8 quarter guys up like week 4 just to fill the voids.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about some polls.
Pat Pohl.
Patrick Pohl.
Carson, you want to talk about Derek's Dirty Dozen top 10?
Yes.
This is a pretty interesting top 10 this week.
I mean,
there's been some changes.
No, and with Derek, I mean, we've talked about it before. What a credible source.
For sure. Derek sent this to me like at 6 o'clock on Saturday morning. He was fired up and ready to go.
Yeah, and so with the week 3 edition of the Derek's Dirty Dozen top 10, you know, we're going to start with 10. And, you know, he's got Pisgah, which last week was number 9. He's got the slow start against Inca is concerning. The Bears still have some work to do if they want to challenge the top dogs in the league. Too many mistakes and slow starts may hinder their chance at a conference title and a deep playoff run. However, they still round out the poll at number 10 this week. You know, we talked about it.
Does he talk about how they're the most physical team in the
metaverse and stuff? He did not mention that. Okay. But he's got, you know, number 9, he's got Franklin. And then he's got them still at the 3rd best team in the Mountain 8. Still a ways to go if they want to knock off Brevard or West, but their style of play lends itself to some upset potential down the road. Blowout win versus Swain, but the Blues' performance in week 3 outshines them, dropping a spot to number 9. And so at number 8, he's talking about the Blues. We've got Asheville School.
Asheville School.
And Derek, Derek's very concerned about why is a tie allowed in 2025, which we all talked about.
Yes, you should be.
Why are we tying in 2025?
That is probably one of the biggest questions that this show will have this year, because this is a travesty. However, an impressive showing from the Blues nonetheless against a massive roster. We had talked about
96
kids on Ambassador Christian, and the Blues hopped 2 spots in the rankings. Can they end the narrative of public school ball being superior in Western North Carolina this week? And that is going to be a staple of this episode.
My question is, who proved that public school is the superior?
I don't know that anybody has proved it.
I think that was just Derek saying, you know, the conception is that public school has been more dominant than private school over the last 20 years.
As a former public school football coach, he thinks that it's not necessarily correct.
I don't think that's true, but go ahead.
No, I would say I will back Derek though. Over the last 20 years, you would think last 10 years. But
let's just take percentage of graduation going to college on scholarship.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
Keep going with
are you the, private school guy this week?
He is the private school
okay,
guy.
Okay, I like
I
it.
I would have had a couple go to Christ school.
With number 7, we have Irwin.
Sydney Gibbs.
And Derek, and he goes, but Derek, Irwin lost this week and is 0-3. Shouldn't they drop out of the poll? No, the voters being me still believe in this Irwin bunch. He goes, and if you put them up against anyone below them in the poll, he goes, I still think they beat them all. I liked what I saw early from the Warriors in week 3, but with a small roster and depth and health will be an issue moving forward during the second half of games. Don't be surprised if the Warriors pull an upset in week 4 against Hendersonville. Is this Derek's dog of the week?
Derek and you and I and Derek had a conversation about Irwin this week, and he thinks they're going to win
more games than
the rest of us think they may win.
Yes, yes. Derek is not completely sold on this Irwin team. He thinks that even with their tough remaining schedule, he's like, they definitely steal a win out of one of those games.
Yeah. All right, sorry, go ahead.
You're good. Number 6, he's got Asheville, the Cougs. faltered going off the mountain. Crest is a loaded bunch and tough place to play. It's easy for things to snowball. Unfortunately, that happened this week. You know, the Cougs are the torchbearers for public school in in Western North Carolina this week. They cannot lose this football game. So we'll talk about this game, but huge matchup for Asheville High representing the public schools against the two-time state champ, back-to-back state,
three-time
state champions, Asheville School. Number five, he's got Reynolds. Tough showing in the home opener against JMR. If they can clean up the special team mistakes, two kick returns for TDs already and some big returns allowed, I think they have a chance to hang in there, win the conference, and a couple of playoff games. Stay the course, a must-win game this for Murphy this week. So number six, Asheville, and number five, Reynolds, with must-win games in Derek's eyes.
Yeah, and it's early.
So then you've got...
I love the ACR's playing Murphy for a must-win game.
It is a must-win game.
It's not necessarily a must-win because it's not even a conference game, but... I think you want to win it to save face. Go ahead with the poll.
And so he goes, so we got Wes Henderson idle this week, but moving up due to a bad showing from the big three MAC teams. Wes is 1-0 against the MAC. Number three, Hendersonville. Not the best look against the scrappy North Henderson bunch, kind of what we alluded to earlier. However, weird stuff always happens in rivalry games. 3-0 in Henderson County. Holding fast at number three. You've got number two. He's got Mountain Heritage, a machine that is hard to stop once it gets rolling. I think we can all agree to that. Their style of play demoralizes the other teams. Each week, they lean on you for four quarters with a dominant run game. What's the blueprint for beating this bunch? Is it, you know, what Hendersonville's got? You know, we're going to see. Number one, still number one, Brevard. Slow start coming out after a bye week. Trailing early, shook off the rust, and was back to business. Put the foot on the gas and ran away with the win. Poised to hold up the Mountain 8 title if all things hold together.
I like it.
Yeah. So, I mean, like super it. Credible source, kind of what we mentioned earlier. You got Mountain Heritage and Brevard up top. No big surprises there.
We also had the high school overtime 8-2-8 rankings. And I'll give those to you real quick. 15 is Irwin. 14, West Henderson, 13, East Rutherfordton, 12, Asheville, 11, Murphy, 10, Bandies, 9, Asheville School, 8, Hendersonville. They're not as sold on Hendersonville as Derek is, but that's okay. 7, Maiden, 6, Reynolds, 5, Mount Heritage, 4, Freedom. Freedom 3-0, we're going to talk about them in a minute. 3, Hickory, 2, Brevard, and 1, Watauga. Of course, 8-2-8 covers a little bigger area than we cover.
Where is Madison on that list? They were there last week.
Were they?
Yeah. Okay. Remember, I had a big problem about it.
All right. So, RPIs came out this week. Lewis, do you remember what RPI, how you figure your RPI?
It changed this year.
It didn't. It's the same.
Well, the percentages changed, remember?
Yeah. Do you remember?
What is it? Your record.
Your winning percentage.
Right. Versus your opponent's winning percentage. Versus yes. Your opponent's winning percentage.
Yes, and they come out with some...
Bingo, formula. Lewis is that guy.
Versus, hold on a minute. Don't you also have, like, how many kids use free lunch?
Nope, not anymore.
They got rid of that.
It's just those three things. It's your winning percentage, your opponent's winning percentage, yep. And your opponent's winning percentage. So, this is way too early to look at RPI, but here it is.
It's really not. Like, Steve's already looking at this.
In 6A... Number 12, TC, 16, Asheville, 25, Reynolds.
Ooh.
And only did the top 30.
Ooh.
5A, 26, North Buncombe, 29, West Henderson.
Hey, go North Buncombe. They're just one spot.
It could be overinflated because Madison was undefeated coming in, you know, with your opponents. It'll all wash in the end. 4A, 11, Brevard, 19, Pisgah, 23, Tuscola.
Yeah, and you'd have to think with Brevard's Irwin being 0-3 probably hurts.
Does
that.
Not help.
Yeah, yes. It does not help.
3A, they got 1-2. Number one, number one is Hendersonville. Number two is Mount Heritage, and in the top 30, number 26, Owen High School.
That's huge.
Hold on a minute. Where's Madison at?
Lewis.
They're not in the top 30?
I don't think they are.
Oh wow!
What a rivalry we're brewing up right here.
Every year.
I love it.
All right.
When is that game?
Is it end of the year again?
I think it's end of the year.
End of the year. Nice.
All right. So conference play that starts this week in the Mountain Eight.
Yep.
You guys ready to get into this week's games?
I am. I'm looking at the spreads, and
there's some big ones.
And we talked about it. I mean, the Robertson game, 28.5-point spread. What did that game finish at?
28.
Yeah. And people think that we just come up with this off the top of their head.
So, yeah, half a point from getting that one right. Instead, I got it wrong.
Indeed.
Indeed.
By the way, I just checked. Madison's the next to last game.
Wow.
Who's your last game?
Mountain Heritage.
Ooh. Ooh. All right. At least Mount Heritage gets a week off for the playoffs. So the first game we're going to cover. Lewis just punched me. So East Henderson 0-3 at Franklin 2-1. East Henderson, they're losing by an average of 37 points a game. Franklin's 2-1. They lost to Murphy 29-16, but they beat Robbinsville and Swain. Franklin a 46.5-point favorite.
Oof.
46.5. Running clock starts at
35.
So they did change the
formula. But it's after halftime.
They did change the formulation. Before it was over 42, you divided it by half. Now it's over 35, you divide it by half.
But you have to wait till after half.
So
hold on a minute. Can we talk about something before this?
Of course. What do you got?
Shelby. We didn't mention Shelby last week.
Oh my gosh.
90-0.
Shelby wins 90-0.
So I imagine.
Did Shelby cover? Were they a great team?
I'm pretty sure they covered it 90-0.
Do you think most of the points were before half?
I think probably so.
They had to be, right?
A running clock and you still score 90. From what I understand, it was a scheduling thing. They couldn't get the right games, you know, with the new conferences. Still, I know Reynolds, I
mean, 90 is impressive.
Reynolds has traditionally played Shelby.
With just the clock, I mean, just time-wise, how does that work?
Nobody got any better from a 90-0 game.
No.
Just to clarify, it was 44 points in the first quarter, 30 in the second quarter.
Oh, my God.
8-8 in the following two quarters.
Wow.
So they scored 74 points before half, before the running clock starts.
So do you think Franklin scores 77 before half on East? Lewis, the spread is 46.5 last year. Franklin wins 48-8.
I'm definitely going to pick Franklin, and they're going to cover. I do think they score a lot before half.
Carson.
I'm going to go with East Henderson covering. I just think it's too many points. This is the ugly pick, but usually the ugly pick is the right pick.
What did Pat pick? So give us Pat's pick, Lewis.
He picked East Henderson.
Listen, that's a lot of points. I'm also going East. I think they lose.
Let's go.
They don't get beat by 46.
We just picked up a game on Lewis guys.
I'm so glad to pick that game up. Thank you, guys.
Wow.
So another conference game in the Mountain Eight. We got North Henderson 2-1 at Tuscola 2-1. North Henderson a 4.5-point favorite. Tuscola has lost to Robbinsville, but they beat Cherokee and South Caldwell. North Henderson, they beat Inca and RS Central. Man, they lost a real close game to Hendersonville. They're led by running back Parker Willis. Tuscola is scoring 31 while giving up 23. North Henderson scoring 35. While giving up 25. This is going to be a barn burner.
Yes.
Carson, what are you thinking?
Well, I would take the over if the line was available. But I'm going to go with North Henderson just had that highly emotional game. I'm going to go with Tuscola at home, the home dog.
Who'd Pat take?
Pat took North Henderson.
I'm also going to take North. I think the running game just too much for Tuscola, and I think they come out on top at least by a touchdown.
I hope they pass the ball. I hope they pass the ball all night. I would. It sounds like he can make completions, just maybe to the other team.
Oh, he had 4 interceptions last
night. I know. If they run the ball, I could be in trouble, but I'm hoping they just gunsling it.
Lewis.
Well, Tuscola, I mean, like I said a couple weeks ago, they trimmed the fat. Once they did that, until they prove me wrong, I'm going Tuscola.
All right. Up next, Smoky Mountain, 2-1 at Pisgah, 2-1. Pisgah lost to Mount Heritage, but they've bounced back with wins over Swain and Inca. Smoky Mountain, they started with a 21-7 loss to Swain, but beat Andrews and Forest View. Last year, Pisgah won 31-21. This year, Pisgah a 16.5-point favorite. Who did Pat take?
Pat took Smoky.
Man, I'm not sure. Pisgah, the most, look, they're the most physical team in the all of the world.
What did you see today? The press release from NASA?
Give it to me.
The rover might have discovered a rock that has proven that there might be life on Mars.
Okay.
So they might be the most physical team in the universe.
I'm taking Pisgah. Who are you taking?
Yeah, I'm going with the metaverse, and I'm going to go with the Pisgah. Are they the Black Bears?
They're the Bears.
Yeah, Pisgah Bears.
Lewis.
I'm probably going to have to go Pisgah as well.
All right.
Lewis Pisgah is trying not to lose any more games on me. That's the only reason.
That's what he's doing.
Yeah, make him pick first this next game.
All right, we'll do it. Well, we know he's going to pick in the next one. The next one, Henderson 1-1 at Owen 2-1. Listen, a great start for Owen. Can they keep it rolling? For West Henderson, they're coming off a beatdown by Hendersonville and a week off. They travel to the Valley. They did not play last year. West Henderson, a 32.5 point favorite. Lewis, can you keep it within 32.5?
I have total confidence in this defense that they will not allow 32.5 points to be put up. So I'm definitely going to pick Owen.
Well, you think they score 32, just not the half?
I think this is like a 22-18 ball game.
Mm.
22-18?
We could be overvaluing the win of Hendersonville over West Henderson. We'll see, I think, this week.
I really think Owen can win this game.
What did Pat choose?
Pat chose Owen.
Of course. Carson.
32.5 points.
So basically, it's do they get to run a clock or not?
And I everything that he has said today, he has taken that Kool-Aid and put it right back in front of my face, in front of my mouth, and put the straw out. And I think I'm sipping on it because I believe that Owen does keep it within 32.5 points.
West dominates. This is a running clock by half. Next up, Irwin, 0-3 at Hendersonville. These guys did not play last year. Irwin, they've lost to Hendersonville. I'm sorry, their next three are Hendersonville, Watauga, and Reynolds. So their schedule does not get any easier. They were leading at halftime against Brevard. There are signs of life. For Hendersonville, they beat East, West, and North. Can they beat Irwin? Can they beat somebody outside of Henderson County? What are you thinking here? What did Pat choose?
Pat chose Hendersonville.
Okay. Lewis, who are you choosing?
You know, I think Rodney's got this kind of dialed in. He's been working his butt off being a coach. I'm going with Irwin.
I meant to tell you, Hendersonville, 10.5 point favorite. Or are we getting 10.5? You're taking Irwin?
Oh, 100%.
I'm taking Irwin as well, 100%. They win this game. This is their first win of the season.
And they teach Hendersonville something here.
Carson?
Yeah, I'm going to go with our most trusted advisor with the Derek Dirty Dozen. And I think this is one of those games. Hendersonville's had how many emotional games so far? And it's like if they – I don't think they're necessarily going to overlook them, but when you just have so many emotional games in a row, is this the classic letdown spot where it's like you don't expect Irwin to come out? They're 0-3. They should just mail it in. I don't think they do that. I think they come out, and I think they're in this game to the very end.
I think so, too.
Irwin able to run the football in the first half. If they can do it for two halves,
yeah,
they're going to win this football game.
Yeah.
Next up, Cherokee 1-2 at Inca 0-3. This is a pick 'em, guys. They did not play last year. Cherokee beat North Buncombe, lost to Tuscola and Choctaw Central. They're averaging 20 points a game, only giving up 7. Will Inca win another game this year? Will Inca win a game this year?
No.
They're losing by 17 points a game.
Nope.
Carson, who do you think wins this one?
Yeah, I mean, I cannot stress this enough, but I'm going to go with Cherokee coming to Old Candlertown and getting the victory. I just don't know if Inca's – it's a tough, long year for them. And which is surprising because you hear things about like, you know, this may have been the group, you know, this was a group. They've got, you know, they had some kids up through the system and stuff like that. They've got, I think, 6 or 7 coaches on their staff that have been head coaches. And I think this goes to show you that really Jimmy and Joe's like, that does matter a whole lot.
Who's Pat taking here?
Pat is taking Cherokee.
Oh my gosh.
Did you guys see where Cherokee stopped by Tuscaloosa on their way down to play that game?
I did not.
I did not.
Indeed.
Indeed.
I'm going to take Inca to get the win, Lewis.
Oh, I love that pick. I'm going to definitely go on Cherokee. Dude, those dudes have the heart. Inca doesn't have it. I'm sorry. There is no heart at Inca whatsoever.
There may be heart at Inca. I just don't know if they've got the – I don't know if they have the skill sets and the players.
Well, I think they do. I think they have great players.
You think they have great players?
At Inca? Oh, for sure. For years, I've – like – when you watch Lewis. Inca, when you watch
Lewis.
Inca,
a break.
Think Lewis. About the youth league. Think
next
about the youth
pick,
league.
North
no,
Buncombe,
no, 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 no. Think about the youth league. Inca's always dominant. The problem is the coaches at Inca, they just screw everything up.
I just don't know if that's the case.
Next up, North Buncombe at Brevard. North Buncombe 2-1, Brevard 2-0. Last year, Brevard won 56-14. North Buncombe is averaging 32 points a game while only giving up 17. They beat Rosman and Madison. And lost to Cherokee. Brevard, they beat 2 of 3 MAC top dogs. And they continue to dominate the MAC and get the win here. Brevard, a 44.5 point favorite. Carson, can North Buncombe stay within 44.5?
Oof. I'm going to go with North Buncombe staying within 44.5.
Love that.
Because of the time management and clock.
I'm taking Brevard. Who did Pat take?
Brevard.
Who were you taking?
I'm definitely taking Brevard. North Buncombe ain't got nothing. They don't.
I didn't say they had any. They definitely don't have anything.
They do run the football well.
But I do hope when they listen to this, I hope that they do first place QB sneak. I hope the second place QB sneak. And I hope that they just continue. And if they get a couple first downs. The thing is, though, is North Buncombe, they could be down 40-0. They are not going to pass the ball.
Right.
So that clock is going to keep ticking.
I'm just saying, like, North Buncombe don't know how to pick coaches. And from that, like, Brevard just, every time they get the ball, they're going to score.
Yeah, I agree.
Every time.
I agree.
And before halftime, like, it's just going to add up and add up.
North Buncombe ain't gonna be able. It's just a matter of, does their coach, does Brevard's coach want to get to it or not? That's the question.
I think they do. I think they do.
So they very well could, because how many times we talked about how the MAC was so much better.
Yeah, just beat up on it, dude. Beat up on it.
Okay, so I don't know. I'm going to go with North Buncombe, and hopefully the clock is on my side.
Next up, guys, we have a pick 'em. We have Freedom 3-0 at TC 1-2. TC is only scoring 6 points a game while giving up 29. They have no offensive rhythm. For Freedom, this is our first opponent with a pulse, baby. They beat Patton 46-6. They beat Drawn 68-0. They beat East Burke 61-22. They're scoring 58 points a game. Can they continue and beat TC this bad? Lewis.
I'm definitely going with Freedom.
Who did Pat take?
He took TC, home team.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I'm going to go with the. Do you know what Freedom's mascot is?
Lewis.
Patriots?
The Patriots, yes.
Does that sound right? Yeah, I'm going to go with the Freedom Patriots.
I am too. I think Freedom wins. TC, just a tough year. Tough year. So next up, this could be the game of the week, Lewis. There's a lot riding on this game right here.
Are we going back to Derek's picks and all this? Who is the better school, the private school or the public school?
I think that's what we're doing. We have Asheville School at Asheville High. Listen, Asheville School 2-0-1. They're a 3-time state champion. They tied Ambassador Christian last week. Could they win the MAC? I don't know. Asheville High, their opponents have not lost a football game this year. They are 1-2. They have a tough non-conference, but who are they? How important is this game to them? Can they stop the run and make minimal mistakes? They have not played before. Asheville 0-2 versus private school opponents in the past 2 years. Carson, your boys. Listen, this is big.
This is
huge. If Asheville School beats Asheville High and Asheville High wins the MAC, does that mean Asheville School could win the MAC?
It means they would win the MAC.
Yes.
100%.
In my opinion. But that's not going to happen, so we don't have to worry about it.
So let me give you
this. No pressure.
Asheville High, Asheville High getting 8.5. They're the underdog.
Asheville High at home.
At
the underdog.
Underdog at
Asheville
the Cougar
Dome. High at home. I just don't know if the Asheville Cougars could get any more motivated for this game. So
that's the thing. Are they pumped up to play a private school?
I think they absolutely are. They're back on their home turf. They've had two tough road games. They've got the Asheville school. They've got them coming into their home field, and they're catching 8.5 points. How much more billboard? How much more headlines? Does the coaches at Asheville have to give their guys if they can't get up and get motivated for this one? So, I've got Asheville Cougars with the win outright. I don't eight and a half points.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Cougars.
Yeah, take the R out of there, but I'll be right. That's it.
Who did Pat take?
Pat took Asheville, of course.
Who are you taking?
I'm taking Asheville School. I think this is a time where we see everything the coaches have been working for pays off, and Asheville School wins this.
Listen, this is the reason that public schools do not schedule private schools in Buncombe County.
Mm-hmm.
Asheville School gets the win. Asheville School dominates. They're going to have a big lead at halftime. They're going to run the football. Asheville High not going to be able to stop it. Asheville School gets the win here.
Do we see a player take his pads off and leave the field?
I don't think so.
No.
But
okay. Asheville School, maybe. This is going to be a track show, and he's
really trying for that pass right here.
I don't think Asheville High can stop the run well enough for Asheville School. They have two running backs who are going to pound the football. Now, Asheville School is not deep. They're going to have to get a big lead at halftime and hang on in the second half. Asheville High a lot deeper, but Asheville School, man. They're going to get the win here, and they're going to, at the end of the year, we're going to say Asheville School could be the MAC champs.
Ooh.
Carson,
yeah. Where are you at, Carson?
Yeah, I've said all I need to say. Friday night, it'll be handled on the field.
I'll be there. I'm pumped to be there.
And so I'm very excited for this game.
Yeah, me too. So next up, this is going to be Buncombe County Game of the Week, part two. We got Murphy 2-1 at Reynolds 1-2. Reynolds a 10.5 point favorite. Murphy's offense, I did some video research today. Basically, it has wing T principles. They want to run gap schemes, and they want to out-leverage you. Reynolds is going to have to stay at home and stay in those gaps and do what they got to do.
The biggest problem is Murphy's going to challenge the will of ACR.
Murphy definitely run first. They're led by running backs Cam Clem and Blake Davis. They beat Franklin 29-16. They lost late. They were losing late and got the win. They beat East Surrey 42-6. They lost to Heard County in Tennessee 42-10. Reynolds, I don't know. Were they better than we thought they were?
No.
Currently, they're scoring 18 while giving up 35. Guys, they're giving up 35 points a game and only scoring 18.
Derek mentioning that they've given up two kick returns for touchdowns and then the long. I mean, that's so unlike Reynolds.
Dude, we talked about this. We talked about the collapse. Maybe this year's the year of the collapse.
Let's start with Pat. Who's Pat taking?
No question. He's picking ACR.
All right. Who are you taking?
I'm 100% going to pick Murphy. Murphy is going to challenge these guys and ask them how much they really want to play football. And ACR just doesn't have it. They're not a tough enough team. They don't have the grit. They're faking an injury. They're doing all this stuff to put in a quarterback that doesn't fit the system. I cannot wait for Murphy to win outright this game.
I think Reynolds is way too athletic. I think they win by at least two to three touchdowns. It's going to be close in the first half. Reynolds pulls away in the second half.
Can't wait to prove you wrong.
Carson?
I think the spread should be more in line with what Mike's saying at 20.5 and not 10.5. I think Reynolds in the second half pulls away in commanding fashion. And they make a statement.
They will not.
I hope you clip all this. Reynolds makes a statement this Friday.
The only statement they're making this week is how they're not ready for this season.
I think so. And it was sent to us during this podcast, but the ACT, which we've talked about.
Which doesn't mean anything.
Pick Murphy to win.
But they picked Murphy to win. Both reporters.
But I'm good. Neither one of those.
So reporters. Lewis and those two reporters
don't
are now
know
on the same.
I can't wait to clip this. I cannot
I'm so
wait
excited.
To clip this.
Perfect. I've got ACR in a landslide.
I do too. Yeah, second half, they dominate.
Dominate.
I hope the band doesn't even play the second half because it's not even close.
10.5 is a good spread for the first half, in my opinion.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see on the field.
We will. And what, I mean, it's one of those things. We're going to sit here next week, and we're going to see the scores and some things we might have saw coming. And there, I think there's going to be some surprises.
I just hope all the footage and everything that's recorded this game, at one point I get to see Coach Craig with his hands over his face, like, what happened?
I don't think that will be
happening. That's not going to happen
this
week.
That's not going to happen this week. They're not playing.
That may have been last week, but not this week.
Yes, that was last week.
Cool.
But, what a slate. We've got Tennessee. We've got Tennessee playing Georgia this weekend. Who does State play?
Wake Forest on Thursday.
Wake Forest,
ooh,
okay.
On Thursday.
And we're Carolina, we're looking at basketball already, so it does not matter. Florida State looks like they're going to have a very strong season.
I think so.
Yeah,
this dude
exciting.
Cut me off today. Getting on the interstate there at 44. Alabama thing on the back.
Was it Eric?
I pulled to the left. He cuts me off again. I pulled to the next thing. I pulled up next to him, and I just start doing the FSU chop. I'm not even an FSU fan.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
What are you doing?
Sam, if you're listening, I really hope you evaluate this with the next insurance premium.
Guys, listen, thanks for joining us this week.
Thank
Sorry
you.
We're a little late. We're going to roll it out.
We love you guys.
We'll talk to you guys next week. Thank you.